with the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton. It was 2 a.m., and as I searched the beach on the Chesapeake Bay, a white spider the size of a woman's hand crawled across my toes. My flashlight revealed what was actually a ghost crab, weirdly pale, eyes on long stalks, claws raised, confronting me, as if to ask, "What are you doing here?" It was a legitimate question. I was trying to catch up with a party of 20 people camping on the beach for a weekend of kayaking along the Southern Bay on Virginia's lower eastern shore. But I was running late and lost. And so, after driving up and down several dirt roads and hunting around on three beaches in the dark, I gave up and slept on a stranger's lawn. In the morning, I awoke in my tent to the sounds of waves and the discovery that my friends were camping on the beach only 100 yards away. I had missed them in the dark. As the gray clouds parted and a brilliant blue sky opened up, I saw the kayakers had picked perhaps the most beautiful place on earth to set up camp. A row of tall pine trees towered over a sandy bluff and a stretch of virgin beach that looked like the Chesapeake must have 500 years ago. The expedition to the mouth of the bay had been organized by Chesapeake Bay educator and naturalist Don Baugh and his friend, the renowned bay author Tom Horton. Here's Tom.
You know, as an environmental writer and he as an environmental educator, we deal way too much with all the parts of the bay that are in trouble or non-existent anymore. And it's pretty important for both of us and maybe a lot of the people that come with us to get out in the parts, the considerable parts that are still pretty nice like this one.
As he spoke, a Chesapeake stingray lifted the tips of its wings from the water.
We spend a lot of time lamenting and telling people about all we've lost, and you have to celebrate the considerable amount that is still here, or frankly, you'd burn out in these save-the-world professions like being an environmentalist.
For the next 2 days, we paddled south along the beaches, toward where the estuary opens to the Atlantic Ocean. Occasionally, the forested shorelines were broken by a McMansion with a wall of rocks along the beach and the trees all around it cut down. In a sane world, I thought, someone would buy all this land and preserve it. The next night, we camped on a sandy, uninhabited island at the mouth of a shallow, meandering creek. As I walked through the marsh grasses to find a place to set up my tent, thousands of fiddler crabs fled in a hissing wave. The sun set. Horton pried open oysters and laid them on a log near the campfire. Don Baugh roasted clams and crab cakes in butter in a pan over the flames. Among those sitting around the fire were some leaders of the bay restoration and cleanup effort, including Ann Swanson, executive director of the Chesapeake Bay Commission.
What makes this such an important cause?
Well, first of all, it's the largest, most productive estuary in the world. The second thing is it's really a challenge because there's 18 million people. And so if there is ever a place that you can prove that protecting a natural environment while cultivating human population is possible, you're going to prove it here.
The next day, as we continued our paddle south, past the wrecks of some World War II cargo ships, I saw a dolphin flash in the water near my kayak. I thought to myself, there's a lot of magic left in the Chesapeake, but it could disappear as quietly as a fin in the waves. With the Environment in Focus, I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project.